When do we pray? When? You know when you go to work. You know when you go to church, at least for some. You know when you wake up. You know when you eat. You even know when you travel, or go for vacation or holidays. You know when you resume. You know when you graduate. I hope that is true. You should know when you graduate. Let's assume. You know. When I say, what time is it? You say, this is the afternoon. This is afternoon from 12. There is an evening, maybe by 4:35. There is a nightfall. But the question is, do you know when to pray? Do you know when to pray? In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul gives us an instruction, and that instruction is important in the now. Verse 15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The word there is to be cautious, careful, being careful or being conservative. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So it's possible for a born-again man to be foolish. Galatians 3:1, Paul says, O foolish Galatians. That means foolish born-again man. Born again, but foolish. So he says, so you don't be a fool. Don't forget that being a fool, spiritually speaking, may even be very smart, intellectually speaking. Paul in 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, I had not seen, he had not heard, neither has it entered to the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For what things know the things of a man, but the spirit of a man. And so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. So we have received not the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit of God, verse 12, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The things that we teach, not in the words with man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. And he says, this natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. He says, because he cannot know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They are foolishness unto him, which means he's going to consider those things as foolish. So don't assume that the foolish here is your smartness with your different university courses or your professional careers or your smartness with devices and technology. No. The foolishness here has to do with his spiritual foolishness. That means that when it comes to the things of God or the things of the Spirit, you are not smart. And now one of the things you know is that you are caught making the same mistakes again and again, for example. You catch yourself falling in the same pit again and again, it means you have been very stupid. Which means you have not thought through, you've not been smart. A Christian should be smart, spiritually speaking. That's why Paul in 1 Corinthians 6 says, look, is there nobody who is wise among you to judge on this matter? That means we have Christians that are wise. Now we've seen that when it comes to spiritual things, they are smart people. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 6, when they brought the case before the apostles as touching the distribution of food, they say it's not good that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Look for among yourselves, verse 3, 7 men of honest report, full of wisdom and of the Holy Ghost, whom we appoint over this business. We give ourselves, verse 4, to prayer and the ministry of the word, which means that there are people we can see that when it comes to spiritual things, they are full of God's wisdom. They know how to do spiritual things well. I told you one of the things you will note is that you do not repeat stupid errors. You don't make the same errors. You also do not repeat the mistakes of people ahead of you. Told you many times, there's nothing different about your journey. Everybody has passed through it before. If you have chosen not to learn from those ahead of you, you will simply fall into what you shouldn't fall into at all. Paul says we must be circumspect, not as fools, but as wise. 16 says, redeeming the time as though you can put it in your pocket, just because the days are evil. So he says in verse 17, be not unwise. So the word wisdom comes twice to you. But understanding what the will of the Lord is. So we are giving instructions as touching being careful and as touching the time, which means that we have a duty to use the time wisely. One of the ways you know whether you are stupid or you are foolish is where the way you use time. Some people think they have the time to do anything. You don't have the time. There's nobody that has all the time. So you must put that in mind. Don't forget we're looking at when do I pray? First and foremost, before I go further, learn that there is that biblical habit that you should cultivate of taking times off natural things and dedicating those times to spiritual things. I know there's the devotion that you do in the morning before you go to work. The prayer chain, if you're in Saints Community Church, for example, you wake up in the morning, you pray, you read the word. Brilliant, on a daily basis. But not just that, there's the habit you should cultivate of taking time off natural things. In fact, even in the natural, they have what they call leave. You have a leave, they give you work leave, or leave at work. What they mean is that go and, you know, rest, be fresh, come back again, and let's give you more work so that you can become tired again. So they give you such leave. They even give you leave bonus or leave bonuses to accomplish all of that. Also, you know that students would have the long holiday. It used to be between June and end of August. But now they have collapsed it into tutorial classes, holiday classes. How can you have holiday classes? Look at the oxymoron. I thought holiday is be free, say holiday classes. You find people even in nursery school attending vacation classes. Vacation classes. Like light darkness or dark light. And why is there a need for that? Because the schools want to make money. Money. That's all. You have some people, they will teach you in school, they also have coaching after school. And they say it's that one that will make you pass. The children of this world are wiser in their generation. I hope you are not one of them. So the world knows that there's a necessity to take time off. Time off, you know, and in that regard, what they are saying is just go and rest and come back and walk. But it is not so as to speak. Literally, with spiritual things. In these, we take time off for spiritual things. Let me say something. Don't ever endeavor to take time off spiritual things. Take time off for spiritual things. Oh, but Pastor, what if along the line, maybe I felt ill, or I am, maybe tired physically. You have some people like that. Why didn't you come to church? They say, I fell ill. So, what do you think church is? Is church not the place to be healed? I know, but I thought it's Holy Ghost meeting. No. Church is a place where you can get healed. Church is the place you should go to if you are sick. Because the power of God is present there. Either in the place of prayer, in the place of praise, in the place of the teaching of the word, or as believers fellowship, we trust the healing power of God. Can I have an amen? So don't take time off spiritual things. Take time off natural things for spiritual things. Somebody say, well, I've been having it rough in ministry. I want to take time off ministry. No, you take time off natural things for ministry. That's how it's done. You don't take time off ministry for something else. You don't take time off your spiritual life to attend to natural things. Again, that force the devil, put in our mind. And some of us are very impressionable. I'm going to deal with that in this conference. Impressionable. You will come for a conference 1 week. You will learn the word. You will be crying. Just one tweet. Your whole life becomes unstable. One tweet. You are unstable. The person who tweeted it was on drugs. So, is it not better you go and take the drugs? Because if you can allow somebody influence you, who doesn't believe in prayer, doesn't believe in the word, what? It's true. Look at my life. You know, I'll deal with that later. Very impressionable. Don't be impressionable. Be a person of conviction in the word. If at all you'll be impressionable at all, be vulnerable only to God's word. The only thing that should make you vulnerable in life should be God's word, God's spirit. Become so, when it comes to the word of God, you are so defenseless. Say when it comes to the word, I am defenseless. I have no defenses at all. I am vulnerable to the spirit of God. I am vulnerable to the word of God. That's how you should be. Don't be vulnerable to any man, any woman, any situation, any circumstance. Don't be vulnerable to anything whatsoever. Be open to the spirit of God. So you must take time off. Look at Moses, Exodus 24 and verse 13. Exodus 24 and verse 13. You can actually start from verse 1. The first thing that he took 70 of the elders, including Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and they went to worship afar. But verse 13 says, he rose up with his minister Joshua, and Moses went up unto the mount of God. Verse 18 says he was there 40 days and 40 nights. He went with Joshua. And you see that oftentimes, just like Genesis 22, spiritual things are done in such excluded areas. Abraham would take Isaac up to a mountain. Moses would take Joshua up to a mountain. Of course, we don't have that same kind of topography today. But what they are simply saying is, take time off natural things. They always did it. Jesus, being the Word himself, replayed the same scenarios. And we see it, where he took time off. In Luke chapter 9, again, he goes with, in verse 28, Peter, James, and John, and they went up into a mountain to pray. Now, notice that Jesus was a person of prayer. He prayed in many places. In Luke 3:21, he prayed at the river Jordan. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he also prayed. But by using mountain, it means it has a spiritual implication, which means that they go to a place apart, a place different, a place of consecration and dedication. And he goes there to pray. He takes them again with him in Luke 23. So one of the ways to disciple people is take them to pray. Take them to a place of prayer. Luke 23. Again, we see him take his disciples to pray. Luke 22, sorry. He took his disciples again, verse 39. They followed him to pray. Then he says, you know, you keep praying here. So he left them and was coming back to check them. The three times he came, they were in La La Land. Sleeping like sleep was going to go out of fashion. You know, but it's part of the training. You know, so by the time he left them in that sense, they knew how not to sleep. Because they knew the thing that made him not to sleep, now made them not to sleep as well. That's part of training. So you see that there's that discipline of going apart to pray. In Luke 5:16, it says Jesus withdrew himself. Look at that word. He withdrew himself. It means that he left all the other activities into the wilderness and prayed. He withdrew himself. What is called retreat. A fellow was saying a couple of years ago, he said, I don't believe in retreats. I believe we'll keep advancing. Idiot. I said, you know some of these boys with cheeky wicky revelation flying not different from great message. I said, I don't retreat. I advance. Jesus retreated. Who are you? He withdrew. Which means he moved back. Moved back. He went to Iperu. He went to Ajebo. He moved back. He left Lagos. He left Galilee. He left Jerusalem. He wasn't Jerusalem here. He left. And he went to a wilderness. In Luke 6:12. He went out to a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. In Luke 22, we read that earlier, 39 to 41. Consistently again, he went to pray. So you see that culture. There should be a culture in you and in your ministry and in your life as a believer where you take time off natural things. You take time off, and it's good at such moments to also fast. That's what fasting is again. To take time off, or to take off natural appetite. Don't let it become something that you used to do. You used to do. I mean, why should a believer retire so early? He should, you know, have a culture like that. Different times of the year. Different times where you just take time off. Don't forget what you're taking time off. You are taking time off natural things to pray. Look at the moment. He had just, Moses in that case, they had just had the Exodus. He took time off to pray. Jesus had just healed the sick, took time off to pray. He had just taught the word, took time off to pray. He was about to choose his apostles, took time off to pray. Which means that we're going to look at it basically, for every decision, I pray. After I've made the decision, I still pray. Before I made it, I pray. Afterwards, I pray. That means that prayer is never a sprint race. Prayer is not, we have prayed. When did we pray? We prayed last year. No. It's not a game that you win and carry the trophy. Prayer is not a race that you run and you end it and you go and rest. Prayer is not a destination you get to and you say, we are prayed, so we are okay. Prayer is, in fact, let me add something to a friend of mine, Larry Amuso, Pastor Larry Amuso, said years ago. He said, none of us can ever become an expert in the things of God except we keep doing it every day. That we'll keep doing it like we never knew it. That's why he discovered that if you were a person given to prayer, vigils, and I mean, I know someone like that, that if we are doing vigils like that, and it's not this kind of one that you can go and some of you go and run there, we'll just be like 8 of us. So, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro, and all of us will be there. Some of the people looking at me were there. And they were there again. She will be the only person. And sometimes we'll pray. I will fast 2 days like that. And everybody, we're in the same room. It's not that you can throw and come back. No, it's a very small place enough to be a tabernacle. Umba than I live. And after we are praying, I will teach for hours. She will just be looking like this. You know, by training. But you know something. She's not like that again. Which means that if you stop giving yourself to it, it will be like it was somebody else that we're talking about. That's why if you leave this conference by Thursday, don't go and rest. Don't say, I'm taking time off WCC. Pastor said we should take time off. You know? So, if you stop and say, let me just... So you don't become an expert. I say, when it comes to, that's what some of us, we used to, you know, minister the gifts of the Spirit. After a while, when we had meat entertainment and all that, we started saying, glory, glory. That's all you have to say, glory. Glory. Woo! Glory. Prophet, who is not a prophecy? Who? Glory is not a prophecy. That's a chant. Prophesy. Yes, sir. These things are ours. These things are ours. You told us last year.
These things are ours, and we know. So what is ours? These things.
You know? No! You have to be fresh. Hallelujah. You have to be fresh. Fresh in prayer, fresh in the study of the word, fresh in how you hear it. That means the way you hear God's word, you have to be fresh. The guy was telling me, he said, until I told him things, but can I take him thought that he had listened to Brother Yenga and read it. I said, how can you say you follow somebody and say you have read him? Did you not listen to yourself? I said, no. It was like my eyes were open. I said, now you are receiving freshness. You are trying to act like an expert. Nobody is an expert. We are all students. That's why Jesus said we must become like a child, like children. Who ask, who want to know, who test to know. So you don't become an expert in prayer. No matter how many watching us confess you come, you will still get tired. You still feel like running away. Everybody does. Oh God. Sometimes I'm starting watching as I'm saying, God, is there a way you can fast forward this into Monday? That is me. You know, when you begin to see the day approaching, this is approaching. Oh Lord, oh, if this cup can pass by and get you, will be done. So there's no way. This is my 22nd year. And it's still the same thing. Because there's no experts. Though we can have some experts. Experts in how to sleep with only angels knowing. Angels just say, you slept. What do we do? Then let's create a miracle. So, you have to take time off. Make it a culture. Make it a culture. A culture. You can take time off natural things. Take time off TV. At a time like that, 2.5 years or so, I took time off TV. Because we were becoming an idol. And I did not take time off TV, and then went to games. I take the time off TV, but I'm now using my phone. Your phone is greater. It has a greater glory. TV, you connect it. This one, nope, it is connected. Take time off. Take time off too. Don't you see that culture? So the question we're asking is, when do I pray? Sometimes we are taught prayer, we are taught the principles of prayer, the authority in prayer. But oftentimes, we have not paid attention to when do I pray. Imagine if, let me give you an instance. If you tell someone, and you say, keep driving, when you get to this junction, turn right. And then the guy keeps driving. Then when he got to that junction, he kept driving. Then when he now sensed the need to turn, he now turned. Don't forget, he sensed the need to turn. Maybe he just feels the road is too straight for his liking. So he turned. He has turned, but he has turned at the wrong time. So you don't determine when to pray. You don't. The one who instructed us to pray, and even told us why we pray, told us when to pray. So to know how to pray, to know why we pray, to know what we pray about, and not know when to pray. Look at the case of Jesus in Luke 22. His disciples were there. They were praying. The same thing in Matthew 26, yes. They were praying. Oh, pray. Sorry, they went with him to pray, follow me. And they were eager. They slept the first time. They said, can't you tarry with me for 1 hour? They said, Lord, it is the traffic at Ogiri. We are here for you. We have slept it out now. Let's proceed. He came again. He said, pray that you enter not the again. And we'll do it the third time. By the third time, he said, sleep on. That means that
There is a when.
You don't just say, well, I will pray next year. Don't say, well, I may not make this year's World Churches Conference, I will come next year. You are now the God. I'll come, I will do it now, I will do it then. No, you should have asked the question, when are we told to pray? One of the things you must know. Look up, everybody. You don't have time in your hands. It's only God who has time in his hands. You don't have time in your hands. You cannot be dictating time. You don't have it. So when do we pray? The one who told us to pray, who taught us to pray, and who showed us to pray, also taught us when to pray. Let me tell you a few things we must battle as time goes by. Many of us grew up in good Christian homes, so you pray early in the morning. In Yoruba, we pray, I slept well, I woke up well, thank you, Father. So you now commit the day into his hands, and you move on. Then at night, if you're able to survive the traffic, and you get home, because of the stress of the traffic, just say, Father, I thank you for today. Thank you for those crazy one-way drivers that made my life a mystery. Glory to your name. As I go to sleep, sleep with me. Or, there's a problem. So you pray. We have to. You know, people say, that's the way. We have to pray. I have to pray. Oh, I want to go and do so and so. I have to pray. Or like many of us who are not here, whenever you desire a marital relationship, we have to pray. Remember a sister like that? Very unserious. Never spoke in tongues. She was arguing against tongues. Arguing. So when she wanted to get into marriage, they took out one of these herbalists who mentioned the name of Jesus. And the guy said, she has to come there every day on sand, they call it the land of mercy, and come and be praying. So, one of the days he was praying, the guy said, you don't even know how to speak every language. Yeah, shepherd, please let me say it. The man just said, oh, you are saying it like this. So rather than speaking tongues by the Holy Ghost, she began saying Jerimoya. Because there's problem. Do you get it? So sometimes when I see some people and they come and say, I say, this issue is going to go by fasting. I know they're going to go and fast. Say, sir, how many days? Let's start with 60. Some is a need or a problem, or when they are confused. But let me say this. There will always be a need. There will always be problems because you are in this world. Jesus told his disciples, John 16:33. He says, in this world you have tribulations and trials. Nevertheless, in me, he says, you have cheer, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In me, you have peace. Paul says, anyone that will live in this world will suffer persecution. So, there's no point saying, okay, if there's a problem, there will always be a problem. There will always be needs. Always. So, we have to step away from prayer points determined by situations. Prayer point determined by situations. If you call people to come and pray in church normally, some people will never show up. But say, exam success day prayer. Or, breakthrough for 2021. Answer by fire prayer. You'll be there. Or say, single and searching SSS. Seriously searching sisters. In those days, we had this nickname for brothers that like, you know, we used to call women damsels. So when you say a brother that likes women, we say he's damselic. When we say a woman that likes a man, we say she's manselic. You didn't hear that. So the manselic and damselic, they'll be there. Interestingly, that's where they'll find their answers. And those people who organize it know. So they are seriously praying, Lord. So by the time they pray, and somebody brings a ring and kneels down or prostrates, they stop praying. Until the guy starts taking alcohol. They start pursuing women. Then they start praying again. You know? So you see that their life is determined, or their prayer life is determined by foolishness. You will always have problems. You will always have situations. So don't let that determine how you pray. In Mark 11, 17, Jesus says, my father's house, or my house, speaking from Isaiah 56, verse 7, shall be made a house of prayer for all nations. We're going to explore that in our teaching later in the conference, which means all the nations of the earth will find God's temple as a place of prayer, where all nations will come and pray. So, when do we pray? When do I pray? Oh, I belong to the Monday prayer group. Clap for yourself. I belong to an intercessory group. Clap for yourself. I pray every Friday. So you understand, when you have discharged that obligation, that feeling of you prayed on your Tuesday prayer meeting, you have discharged the obligation. So by the Wednesday, life continues. You've discharged that obligation. Well, every member of this church must pray 3 hours every week. You pray that prayer and you discharge the obligation. But that is not God's word. That's not God's word. When do we pray? Not a prayer meeting. Not a Tuesday. Not a Wednesday. Now, by the time I come to know that I am praying, you know, we talk about what will God do without prayer. We have spoken about why we pray. We thought when we don't pray. And we have seen that prayer primarily is a man aligning himself with the will of God on earth. So the question is, when do I pray? I pray when God's will has not come to pass. I pray when God's will has not come to pass. Notice that. I pray when God's will is not, I pray for me to be satisfied. As soon as I'm satisfied, I stop. See, if that was it, then no apostle would have taught us to pray always. Ephesians 6, 18 says to pray always. Colossians 4, 2 and 3 says you continue in it. Romans 12, 12. So if it's that way, why would I pray always? If it is to meet my needs or to get to a destination. Who's following what I'm saying this evening? Are you following this? So when do I pray? I pray when the will of God is yet to come to pass. But the question is, what is His will? Numbers 14:21. As I live, saith the Lord, He says, the whole earth will be filled with my glory as the waters covers the sea. Habakkuk 2:14. The whole earth again will be filled with the glory of God, of Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Jesus said that in Matthew 24:14 about the gospel of this kingdom being preached in every nation, then the end will come. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of His will. So, since we know that the will of God is to cover the earth with the word, it means, therefore, I pray when I know it has not happened. If I know it has not happened, it means it is time to pray. Go to Daniel chapter 9. To know, rather than be inspired to pray, when you watch the news, sometimes it's not wrong to hear what is happening, to know what to do though. Sometimes it's good to pray when there are challenges in the natural. But let your prayer be based on the written word. Let your prayer life be fixated on the written word. Daniel 9. I'll read verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books. People have misquoted this to mean reading Napoleon Hill. No. Books, the number of the years, whereof, verse 2, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. That means he was reading the book of Jeremiah, that he were accomplished 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication and fasting and sackcloth and ashes. So, since I know what God intends to do in the earth, then I begin to pray. Every time God has an agenda in the earth, he gets men to pray. One sign to know that God wants to do something is that he prompts people to pray. Now the question is that, what would God want to be done now? He wants the whole earth to be covered with his word, which means that right now, if that is not done, now is the time to pray. So Daniel began to pray. He began to pray knowing God's will in the earth. In Daniel 10, we find a case of that prayer itself being hindered. I was in the place of prayer that the solutions came. So he learned to pray. So, which means I pray knowing God's will has not come to pass. I pray knowing God's will should come to pass in my nation, in my city, in my town, or even in my church. So, when I open my eyes and see one, men, I'm focusing on certain things this evening, men of God, for example, men that God has chosen, fall into temptation. That is when to pray. In Luke 22, verse 31 to 32, Jesus spoke about Peter, a chosen man, a man he has spoken of in Matthew 16, verse 17 and 16 through to 18, thou art Peter, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Having said that about Peter, then he says, Satan has desired to sift you, you know, like wheat, you know, and he says, but I prayed for you when you are converted, that your faith should not fail, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. So we pray for the men through whom the will of God comes to pass. In Luke 22, 46, he says, pray that you don't enter into temptation. So we pray for the men that God is using, including yourself, to make his will come to pass, that they don't fall into temptation. Luke 22, 36. Well, 21, 36, sorry. We also pray that they are strengthened even in their hours of failure. Luke 22, 31 to 32. So when we look at God's will in the earth, is what tells us when to pray. As I am right now, I know that the will of God for Nigeria has not come to pass. Please, who knows that? What about for Africa? So, when am I supposed to pray? Now. Now is when I am supposed to pray. Every time I read God's will, and I look at the world, and I look at the situations, I know it's time to pray. When there is opposition towards it, I actually skipped my number one. I just saw it. What is critical is to see, I've said it in a way, anyway, that when we see God's will in the earth, it is the reason why we pray. It's God's task in the earth. What is He planning for this world? He's planning for this world what we saw Him do through Jesus. And if that is it, that is what will motivate my prayer life. A prayer life that is not centered around the gospel is nothing more than idol worship. A prayer that is life that is not focused primarily, don't forget the word primarily because there's something called secondarily, primarily on the gospel is idol worship. Knowing the task ahead, which means a man not given to the work of the ministry cannot be given to prayer. Let me say it clear and loud. A man not given to the work of the ministry, let me say it in another way, not given to the task of winning souls and discipling them for Christ, cannot be a man of prayer. So don't waste your time trying to tutor a man to pray who has not learned why he should pray. And when he doesn't know why he should pray, he will never know when he should pray. Prayer will become a burden to him. You'll be like, what's it? I mean, I just got a new job, I just got married, I just was able to buy this and buy that. So he's just really wondering, why is he burdening himself? And in fact, in case you even think that people have problems in church, you say, I can even create a foundation and be giving your members food. So he doesn't see a reason to pray. There's no reason to pray because, number one, he doesn't know why we pray and can never know when we pray. So when there's a task ahead, look at Luke 2. We had people praying. Simeon waiting for the Messiah. And we have Anna, the prophetess. Prophetess, daughter of Phanuel, who was equally waiting and praying. Luke 3:21, Jesus himself was found praying. So whenever there is a task, there's prayer. Whenever the task is being carried out, there's prayer. Whenever the task is carried out, there's prayer because the task leads to another one. So there is no long time to pray. This is long enough. There is no long. So for us, natural things that we do are interruptions into our prayer life. Listen carefully. It's not your prayer life that's interrupting things. It is natural things interrupting your prayer life. Because knowing the will of God, we pray always. Can I have an amen? So it's not prayer that is interrupting things. It is the natural things that interrupt prayer. Acts 13. Imagine. They are just heard, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, verse 2, for the work well to have called them. And then they prayed. Some of us, the moment we hear a word of prophecy, everything is glory, glory. So people are now competing now at who gets the most oratory words in prophecy. And it will shine forth and set forth and be forth and be this. And then when it trickles, then he sets up and then he goes down. Then when I'm not trying to mock anything here, but you see, we have heard that yesterday. Now it's time to act upon it. Prophecy. Some of us like hearing prophecy. You just be writing, and be singing. Let us pray. I've heard the wonderful words of the Spirit. Let us pray. Then we will now require prophecy. Because you need to be edified. So, we pray, having known what to do. We pray to know what to do. We pray, having known what to do. We pray when we are doing it, knowing that when we are done, we are still going to have things to do. When do we pray? We pray when we know the will of God is yet to come to pass. Acts 9, a new convert, Saul of Tarsus, as soon as he heard Jesus, knew this was the Yahweh of the Old Testament. 3 days, new convert. Of course, don't forget he was a Pharisee too. New convert. He began to pray. Every task we are given, I learned that from Bishop Oyedepo years back. How will you have a task? He said then that it will take 18 months, 2 years. So I made it a culture. If God tells me to do, I know that it will take me a longer time to do it, so I'll take more time to pray about it. It will mitigate mistakes, take away excitement, because you take excitement, take away flesh, competition, and all sorts of things. You pray. You pray, knowing the will of God has not come. You pray when you see the men God is using or should use fall into temptation, and you also pray for them not to fall into it. You pray when you see opposition. Acts 4:23-24. The apostles in one accord and pray, oh God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth. They were quoting Psalm 2. You pray when there's opposition. You don't argue. You don't do press conference. You don't try to match people by media. You don't try. No! You lift your voice and you pray. Prayer is the life of the believer. The other things we do are interruptions. Or let's put it like this. There are things that prayer acts upon. Look at the church in the book of Acts. Jesus gave them what we call the Great Commission. Matthew 28:18-20. Mark 16:15-20. Luke 24:47. Through to 52. And John 20:21-23. As soon as Jesus left their sight, what were they doing? Acts 1:14-15. They were praying. He told them to expect the power of God. Acts 1:8, Luke 24:49. And what was the action they took? Prayer. And the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 got born again, they did not go on Facebook to organize a launch for the new converts. Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in prayers. Acts 3:1, Peter and John went to the temple in the hour of prayer to pray. They didn't go to the temple in the hour of prayer. No, they went there to pray. Acts 4:23-24, they were praying. Acts 6, when they chose deacons, as we call them now, the 6, they prayed. Acts 9:16, we see Saul of Tarsus, 15, he was praying. Acts 10:4, 5, and 6, Peter went to the housetop to pray. It's so consistent, you shouldn't miss it. Acts 12:5, the old church were praying. Acts 13:2, they were praying. Acts 13:3 and 4, they were praying. Acts 14:22, to ordain elders, they were praying. So it's a consistent thing. Acts 16:30, Paul and Silas, they were praying. That should be 25 or 26. They were praying. It's so consistent. You can't miss it. Why do they keep praying? Because the will of God was yet to come to pass. Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, and unto the what? Uttermost parts of the earth. Until His will is done on earth. The whole earth. So therefore, my depth of doctrine should lead to my depth of prayer. Every teaching service should inspire depth of prayer. That means my increase in the word is increase in my prayer time. Hearing the word the more must inspire something true doctrine inspires. True Bible doctrine inspires winning souls. And when it does, it inspires a prayer life. So my depth of doctrine is not just my capacity to go in between context, pretext, hermeneutic exegesis, and all of the exegetical use of Greek and Hebrew words and Latin words, and being able to master the way I teach and preach that which I've come to know, now leads me to pray the more. When do we pray? When the will of God is yet to come to pass for our nation, for our cities, for our villages. And you know, if it comes to pass in my city, assuming everybody in my city gets born again, what about the next city? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So prayer, it takes away selfishness. It focuses the man born again in the will of God. Pray for me, I close. A man asked, he said, which is more important, to know the word or pray? The preacher answered, which is most important or more important, to breathe in or breathe out? It means, if I hear the word, it's like breathing in. But imagine if all you do is like, you will collapse. And what I do, you also collapse. You breathe in, then you breathe out. You hear the word, then you pray. Which means every sermon. Remember then in Deeper Life Bible Church, after every sermon we pray. Today after every sermon, all we do is just rejoice. Glory! Glory! Good to rejoice. But it's also good to pray. When do I pray? When I hear the word. When do I pray? When I study the word. When do I pray? When I know the will of God is yet to come to pass. In my nation, in my city, in my town, in the world. So we say believer's authority. I say it like this. Prayer is like the gun. The word that I know is like the bullet. Neither of them can work without the other. Which means that what I know only becomes effective by how I pray. Without my prayer life, all I know comes to nothing. So, if you are here, in the last 9 months, in the last 5 years, I have come to appreciate the word more. The question I want to ask you, has it increased your prayer life? If it hasn't, all you have is head knowledge. Because the moment you know more, you pray more. When do we pray? Now. Oh, I've done 1 hour, so I'm done. No, you pray. I've done 24 hours, I pray. So at every time I pray, I know that the next minute is still an opportunity to pray. When do I pray? What is that conference? Yep. After it? Yes. During the year? Yes. When do I pray? Now. So, there is no time I should not pray. Oh, but I just did 2 whole days praying. The third day too, you pray. But I just had a vigil and I finished at 5, 6 o'clock, pray. But I just took 20 hours praying, laboring. What about the 23rd hour? It is the time of prayer. When do we pray? Now. Hallelujah. So, now is the time to pray. And we are going to pray. We are going to pray. We have a good number of things, and our direction in this year is very, very unique. We will be praying a lot for our churches. I know we did that last year. We're going to do it a bit more and be very specific. I've given to the chariot leaders what we're going to direct our prayers for. And we're going to do it in lots of 6 hours. Amen? Lots of 6 hours. Till we are, don't forget, we can never be done, right? So when we are done is to do more. We're going to pray. Because the will of God has not come to pass. Not in my nation, not in my city, and not in my town. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let there be burdens of prayer all over the house. Let there be visions of prayer. May you see people to pray for the more. May you see these reasons. Let's stand to our feet. May you see the reasons. May you be enveloped in the urgency of prayer. That the urgency of prayer is now. Is now. Prayer is not to be postponed. Prayer is not to be achieved. Prayer is to be prayed now. But I just finished praying. Now is the time to pray again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands. Oh Lord, I pray. I pray. At this time, at this season, I release myself to bodies of prayer. I release myself. I release the next 1, 2, 3 days for prayer. I call today, Saturday, Sunday, no Monday. I call these are days of prayer primarily. It's not days of weakness. It's not days of chitty-chatting. It's not days of distraction. The next 3, 4 days will be for me days of praying now. Lift your voice. Come on. Dedicate those days with your own words. And these days are days of prayer. Days to pray now. When do I pray? Now. Now. But I just prayed now. Yes, now. When do I pray? Now. I just did 24 hours. The 25th hour is for prayer. I did 6 days. The 7th day is for prayer. When do I pray? Now. 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 Dedicate those days all by yourself. To pray now.